Sankha Sutta, the conch trumpet. This discourse appears in Samyutta Nikaya, Gamini Samyutta. On one occasion, the Blessed One was staying near Nalanda in the Pavarika Mango Grove. Then Asi Bandhakaputta, the headman, a disciple of the Niganthas, went to the Blessed One and on arrival, having bowed down to him, sat to one side. As he was sitting there, the Blessed One said to him, "Headman, how does Niganthanathaputta teach the Dhamma to his disciples?" "Niganthanathaputta teaches the Dhamma to his disciples in this way, Lord. All those who take life are destined for a state of deprivation, are destined for hell. All those who steal, all those who indulge in illicit sex, all those who tell lies are destined for state of deprivation, are destined for hell. Whatever one keeps doing frequently, by that is one led to the state of rebirth. That is how Niganthanathaputta teaches the Dhamma to his disciples." Then Buddha said, "If it is true that whatever one keeps doing frequently, by that is one led to state of rebirth, then no one is destined for a state of deprivation or destined to hell, in line with Niganthanathaputta's words. What do you think, headman? If a man is one who takes life, then taking into consideration time spent doing and not doing, whether by day or by night, which time is more, the time he spends taking life or the time he spends not taking life? If a man is one who takes life, Lord, then taking into consideration time spent doing and not doing, whether by day or by night, then the time he spends taking life is less. And the time he spent not taking life is certainly more, because you would use 10 minutes or 15 minutes to kill someone, and then the rest you are not doing that. If it is true that whatever one keeps doing frequently, by that is one led to a state of rebirth, then no one is destined for a state of deprivation or destined to hell, in line with Nikantanatha Buddha's words." So what does mean is that it is not by doing this killing sort of thing that one straight away go to hell. It is that one got to do it quite often. "What do you think, headman? If a man is one who steals, indulges in illicit sex, tell lies, then taking into consideration time spent doing and not doing, whether by day or by night, which time is more, the time he spends telling lies or time he spends not telling lies? If a man is one who tells lies, Lord, then taking into consideration time spent doing and not doing, whether by day or by night, then the time he spends telling lies is less, and the time he spends not telling lies is certainly more. If it is true that whatever one keeps doing frequently, by that is one led to rebirth, then no one is destined for a state of deprivation or destined to hell, in line with Nikantanatha Buddha's words. There is the case, headman, where a certain teacher holds this doctrine, holds this view. All those who take life are destined for a state of deprivation, are destined for hell. All those who steal, indulge in illicit sex, all those who tell lies are destined for a state of deprivation, are destined for hell. A disciple has faith in that teacher, and the thought occurs to him, our teacher holds this doctrine, holds this view. All those who take life are destined for a state of deprivation, are destined for hell. There are living beings that I have killed. I too am destined for a state of deprivation, am destined for hell. He fastened into that view. If he doesn't abandon that doctrine, doesn't abandon the state of mind, doesn't relinquish that view, then as if he were to be carried off, he would thus be placed in hell. Because that he got this view that by doing this killing and all those things, that teacher is saying that if you do that, you go to hell. And a disciple who is following that person, that teacher, then he actually thoroughly hold that view. Because my teacher is telling this, and I have done these things, so he's bound for hell. A view is very important, because the view is the one making one to think. And when you see certain things, for example, maybe a beautiful object, you would feel like thinking about it further and further because of the view. View makes it, go in that direction. So view is very important to get rid of the wrong view. So if this student is actually holding to that view, then definitely he will go to hell. The thought occurs to him, our teacher hold this doctrine, hold this view. All those who steal, all those who indulge in illicit sex, all those who tell lies are destined for a state of deprivation, are destined for hell. There are lies that I have told. I too am destined for a state.
So, did you mean that when that person, even though he doesn't tell lies?
No, he has done it.
Alright.
He has done it before.
Yes.
Since he has done it before, now he is following this teacher. So, teacher said that, person who has done this one going for hell.
Yeah.
Right?
Okay.
Now, he is going back to the same thing again and again, I am going to hell. He cannot get rid of that view. He keeps on going into the same thing. So, he fastens into that view. If he doesn't abandon the doctrine, that doctrine doesn't abandon the state of mind, doesn't relinquish that view, then as if he were to be carried off, he would thus be placed in hell. There is the case, Hedman, where a Tathagata appears in the world, worthy and rightly self-awakened, consummate in clear knowing and conduct, well-grown, a knower of the cosmos, unexcelled trainer of those to be tamed, teacher of human and divine being, awakened, blessed. So this is this meaning of the Itipiso Gatha. You see, if you are recollecting Buddha, this is the way to recollect. Then it is very, very lengthy. And there was this one discourse completely talking about Buddha has got this, the Charana Dharma conduct. So there are 15 of those things and the three kind of knowledges. One has to recollect all those things. So the Buddha appears in the world. He in various ways criticizes and censors the taking of life and says, abstain from taking life. He criticizes and censors stealing and says, abstain from stealing. He criticizes and censors indulging in illicit sex and says, abstain from indulging in illicit sex. He criticizes and censors the telling of lies and says, abstain from the telling of lies. A disciple has faith in that teacher and reflect. The Blessed One in various ways criticizes and censors the taking of life and says, abstain from taking life. There are living beings that I have killed to a greater or lesser extent. That was not right. That was not good. But if I become remorseful for that reason, that evil deed of mine will not be undone. Just by thinking about it, won't do it. So reflecting thus, he abandons right there the taking of life and in the future refrain from taking life. This is how there comes to be abandoning of that evil deed. This is how there comes to be the transcending of that evil deed. So by not by reflecting what I have done in the past, not by revisiting again and again, it is just I take that what I have done is wrong and then firmly I establish that I had the wrong view, that my teacher instructed me not to do so. And he thoroughly hold that view and he abandoned this one right over there at that particular time onwards, not to coming back to the same fault again and again. So that's the way to transcending of that evil deed. It doesn't mean that it's completely wiped out. It is there, but you are not doing it further. Further accumulations are not there. He reflects the Blessed One in a variety of ways, criticizes and censors stealing, illicit sex, telling lies, abstain from telling lies. There are lies that I have told to a greater or lesser extent. That was not right. That was not good. But if I become remorseful for that reason, that evil deed of mine will not be undone. So reflecting thus, he abandons the right then, the telling of lies, and in the future refrain from telling lies. This is how there comes to be the abandoning of that evil deed. This is how there comes to be the transcending of that evil deed. So regarding those five, that is killing, stealing, sexual misconduct, and then the lies, those things he abandoned. Having abandoned taking life, he refrained from taking life. Having abandoned stealing, he refrained from stealing. Having abandoned illicit sex, he refrained from illicit sex. Having abandoned lies, he refrained from lies. Having abandoned divisive speech, he refrained from divisive speech. Having abandoned harsh speech, he refrained from harsh speech. So now you can see, having abandoned idle chatter, he refrained from idle chatter. So we are going to now the 8 things. So whatever thing done from the verbal things is going rid of those 4 things. That is refrain from lying, harsh speech, frivolous talks and slander. And again, there are things that we do from the mind. 3 things, bad things. So the first 3 was the bodily 3 things. That is this killing, stealing and sexual misconduct. And then the 4 from the from words. And then the 3 from the mind, that is this abandoned covetousness, he become uncovetous. Having abandoned ill will and anger, he becomes one with the mind of no ill will. Having abandoned wrong views, he become one who has right views. So there are 3 things. So the covetousness is that having seen something that one would regard, let this be mine. And then the ill will thoughts that come to over here, that having seen someone, let this guy be dead. And then the other one is the wrong view, having the wrong view. The right view is this understanding about the whole noble truth itself. And then the there is this wrong view that there is no results of giving, there is no father, there is no mother, there is no other world, and so on. So these are the 10 good things. The 10 bad things will be abandoned and then go into the 10 good things. That disciples of the noble ones, headmen, that devoid of covetousness, devoid of ill will, unbewildered, alert, mindful, keeps pervading the first direction, the east, with an awareness imbued with goodwill. Likewise the second, likewise the third, likewise the fourth, the above, below and all around. Everywhere, in its entirety, he keeps pervading the all-encompassing cosmos with an awareness imbued with goodwill. Abandoned, expansive, immeasurable, without hostility, without ill will. Just as a strong conch trumpet blower can notify the 4 directions without any difficulty, in the same way, when the awareness released thus through goodwill is thus developed, thus pursued, any deed done to a limited extent no longer remains there, no longer stays there. That although one has done the evil things, the ones that has been done to the limited extent, not to the great extent, right? For example, someone has killed thousands and thousands, millions, you know, people like that, and one has done killing father, mother, that sort of thing. It cannot be abandoned by doing this. But the little ones, you know, occasionally kill an animal, that sort of thing can be abandoned, because that this loving kindness was made to a greater extent. It's vast. You see the words over here, that the expansive, immeasurable, without hostility, without ill will, is making it so vast, and that's appamanin avarein. So loving kindness, we will look at this loving kindness, how to arrive at that one at the end of this discourse. And this should not be sort of confused as well, because one can actually think that you can get rid of all these deeds by doing this one, so it's okay to kill, and then I can sort of do the loving kindness, you know, make into that one. So Buddha has said in the same this Vagga, that is this Gamini Sanyutta, that the another discourse, monks, I declare, this is in the Anguttara Nikaya, monks, I declare that of intentional deeds done and accumulated there can be no wiping out without experiencing the result thereof. Whatever thing you have done, you've got to experience this. And that too whenever arising, either in this same visible state or some other state hereafter. Whenever it is arising, it's not permanent over there. When the conditions are right, it is coming into play its part. But if you maintain the loving kindness, you know, this infinitely, you know, the metta, cheto, vimukti, then there is no chance that wants to come to arise. That's what Buddha is aiming at. So Buddha is declaring at the beginning, before actually instructing monk to go into this loving kindness thing, Buddha said that there can be no wiping out without experiencing the result thereof. I declare, monk, there is no ending of ill as regards intentional deeds done and accumulated without experiencing the result thereof. The suffering cannot be ended without ending these things. But whenever arising, that's the condition. Whenever it is arising, either in this state or the other state. So, like in this discourse also, Buddha said that going to this loving kindness meditation, and when they develop into the great extent, boundless extent, then those whatever deeds belong to a limited range stays in that range. It stand not still in this range. So this range, that the loving kindness range, you know, there's no overlapping here and there in that case, if you can maintain the metta citta vimukti.
Why is only the loving kindness one?
It's all the other three as well. So this is the first paragraph of that discourse. So, and then that disciple of the noble ones, thus devoid of covetousness, devoid of ill will, unbewildered, alert, mindful, keeps pervading the first direction with an awareness imbued with compassion, appreciation, equanimity. So those are the four things: metta, karuna, mudita, upekkha. Likewise the second, likewise the third, likewise the fourth, thus above, below, and all around, everywhere in its entirety. He keeps pervading the whole encompassing cosmos with an awareness imbued with equanimity, abandoned, expansive, immeasurable, without hostility, without ill will, just as a strong conch trumpet blower can notify the four directions without any difficulty. In the same way, when the awareness released through equanimity is thus developed, thus pursued, and deed done to a limited extent, no longer remains there, no longer stays there. So this, when this discourse was given to this Asavibandhaka Putta, headman, then he said to the Blessed One, magnificent Lord, magnificent, just as if he were to place upright what was overturned, to reveal what was hidden, to point out the way to one who was lost, or to carry a lamp into a dark so that those with eyes could see forms. In the same way has the Blessed One, through many lines of reasoning, made the Dhamma clear. I go to the Blessed Ones for refuge, to the Dhamma and to the community of monks. May the Blessed One remember me as a lay follower who has gone for refuge from this day forward for life. So this loving kindness has to be maintained. It is that it is not just simply saying that let all beings be well, free from suffering, without understanding. This has got quite a lot of Dhamma behind this to arrive at this metta citta vimukti. This, the way to arrive at that one is explained in the Petakopadesa. It says the first profitable direction. First, one would go through the painful way through sluggish acquaintanceship, that is the Dukkha Patipada Dandavinya. It has got five things, that is, one need to contemplate about the loathsomeness in food, that what will happen to the food when we eat. So you can see that normally you taste it and then you know, let it go, not thinking about it. But if you leave that same food on a table for 7 days or so, then you can see the disgusting nature of that food, you know, the spoil and all those things. On the other hand, if you put that food inside your body, you can see after a little while, you know, after a day or so, what will happen to it. But after a little while also, you can see what is going to happen to it in your stomach. So there is this thing, but you need to see it yourself. That is, how do you see that one? Only by, if you vomit it, then you can see that the nature of the food. So, would you like to see that one? No one would like to see such a thing. On the other hand, would you like to hear somebody talking about this, there's this vomiting sort of thing? So, then your ear is also rejecting that one. What about the nose? You can see the smell of that one, and it's actually really acidic, and can't tolerate. Would you lick it from the tongue? Nobody would do that, right? So you can see that how disgusting it is, right? And would you touch it from the hand? You wouldn't. So it is that bad. But this particular thing is inside our stomach. So although our five senses are rejecting it, it is inside. See, we tolerate it.
And also, probably, we can contemplate on the impermanent nature of food as well, because before we eat it, it is beautiful, it is smell, that means good food smell, and a lot of things there. Soon after we eat, in about a couple of minutes, it is in that condition.
Even when you are mixing it, you can see the nature of that one. But having been done this one for a long time, we tolerate it and we live in that world, you know. So that's the first one. You need to see the loathsomeness in food, and then you need to see what will happen to that food and going through the body, and then, going through these body parts, you can see that the juice is extracted to the body, and then we call it blood, right? And so excrement comes out, and so that's the real nature. One who need to contemplate about that one. If you do it thoroughly and properly, then there's this desire for this food is going away. So this is very important, that we aren't normally eating three meals per day. So each time we cling to that one, don't we? Although we don't, some people actually know and talk about it. But this is the holding point for the mind. Our mind holding to this one, this food. For such thing, one would like to come back to this world, although it is suffering, for eating and maintaining this thing. The food is a really big thing that we do not actually think. But the Aryans, Arahants, knows about this. They talk about this. Our mind always holding to this food. What we do, we earn money, and we think we are earning money for something else, but we are earning money for this thing, to get this food. You know, you eat in the morning and then go to the office, work for what? To get this food, and going to the supermarket, take it back and then cook it again and eat, right? So again back to square one, repeat it for that many times. So think about it, about the food. So the first one is this loathsomeness in food. And then one would need to maintain the loathsomeness in the body. That is this kaya anupassana, about the body. That the disgusting nature about this the body. So we go through the 32 parts of the body over here. Hair of the body, nails, teeth, skin, flesh and so on. When you go through, you need to have the mind set up for the perception that you actually already established regarding the loathsomeness in food. Unless you have the loathsomeness in food, the perception in your mind established, otherwise you will go through that hair in the body. So what? There's nothing will happen over there. Unless you actually see to a certain extent that while contemplating that it is bad. Because we have wrong perceptions most of the time. For example, we have our hair on our head and we sort of say, think that it is beautiful and so on. But if you take that hair and then if you see on the plate that you are eating, then you actually throw it out, disgusting, and you are very unhappy. So you can see we have a wrong perception. First we thought that the hair on our head is good. But if it is so good, then having that one on the plate is fine as well. So, since it is not fine on the plate, means that our perception about hair is wrong. And these things are also made from that, the blood that circulated from that food, is part of that juice and made out of those things. So, with that perception, the loathsomeness about the food, you maintain in your mind and go through these body parts then you can actually see bit by bit, because your view is now changing. Unless the view is changed, nothing will happen.
But that is one side of that, isn't it? Because if you take the body part as a apotejo ayo like that, so it's a sort of at the end, you can get there too, isn't it? So
oh, that way also, but that is more for a more intelligent person than to this one. So more intelligent person looking at that way, that is means he actually developed this one first and then go into that stage. So you can't go into the four elements straight away. Even for the four elements, you actually go through these body parts first and see in my hair, body, this hair of the body, nails, teeth, skin, flesh and all those things, whatever hard is the element of extension. And then whatever the liquid nature is the element of cohesion and so on. And the air in the body, like that. So you use this example, these 32 parts, to arrive at that one as well. That's why he can actually get rid of the element of extension, whether it's the external or the internal. So you need this part to do that. So if you are successful in doing this second part of the meditation about this the loathsomeness in the body, then you can see that my body is this 32 parts is disgusting and this is of this nature. And then I see somebody else's body is of the same nature. So then you can see my eye, when I see them, is I don't want to see them. I don't want to accumulate it. So you can see my eye become empty. Similarly, the sounds that I am getting, hearing other people talking, is the same thing. You know, the tongue biting on the, you know, happening over there. So what's the use of that? So you can see the same thing. It's like a food. You are treating this one as a food. It's actually, this is a food. The body is the food, whether you know about it or not. If you give your body to a crocodile, it will eat it. Right? So this is the food. So now the same perception with the food, now we apply to the body and then apply to the other peoples. They are the same food, the same nature. So you can see my eye, ear, nose, tongue, body and the mind therefore become empty. I'm not clinging to any of those things because of my perception. Why I am clinging? I have a wrong perception, wrong view. If I have right view, I'm not clinging to those disgusting things. So that is leading to something called the detachment from all the worlds, or sabbaloke anabirata sanya in Pali. So if my world is becoming empty, then I would look at myself and see, why would I have made this body? Why would I go into another body? Why would I make these volitional formations, the sanskara? Then you would sort of going into this perception, impermanence of volitional formation, sabbasankaresu anicca sanya. So there are four things now. And then he has the perception of death maintained in the mind, that people pass away, I pass away, you know, it can happen when I breathe in, I may not live up to breathe out. So then I get five perceptions over here. That will lead to the first meditation called Pratama Jhana, first jhana concentration. And then that lead to the first foundation of mindfulness, kaya anupassana, that is this body of this nature, then how it is arising, how it is passing away, because this, when you are talking about the impermanence, you see the arising and passing. And that leads to the something called Dibba Vihara in Pali, is the first abiding. Dibba Vihara is that the divine abiding, the first jhana, second jhana concentration, third and the fourth, those included in that one. That is the first abiding. And then he put the, when he complete the first right endeavor, that is the Pratama Sammapadana. That is, basically we are not letting the sensual desire, ill will and thought of harming, all those things come into our mind. The whatever thing that has not arisen, and at this moment you can see that there is no sensual desire, if you reflect in your mind that I don't have ill will sort of thing at this particular moment. But when we go to shopping mall or somewhere, then it can come up. So these things has not arisen yet, but they can come to arise. So I prepare myself before not to let them come in. And remember, this person is knowing about those objects. He knows the loathsome nature of these things. So he is maintaining that perception all the time. That is what he is trying to do, maintaining this perception. And that leads to the first wonderful and marvelous idea. The first wonderful and marvelous idea is the dukkha, first noble truth, that the suffering nature, birth, aging, sickness, and he actually see, yes, everything is of this nature and is suffering and so on. And therefore, he when he completes that, when he contemplates about the birth, the suffering, aging, suffering on that part, that will lead to the first determination, that is Satchadhitthana. Satchadhitthana is that you see the everything in the world is musa, you know, the false thing. The only thing that is not subject to falsity is Nibbana. So he sees the Nibbana is the only thing, all the other things I have been doing so far and are useless and leading to the suffering. And because of that, when he developed that he reached the concentration due to desire, Chanda Samadhi. And now that leads to the Indriya Samvara or the faculty restraint. You see that his effort at the beginning, in the middle of this one, so having contemplated about this this loathsomeness in food and so on, now he does not want to go into that one, attract those things, so he will restrain his eye, ear, nose, tongue, body and mind. Having seen something, he doesn't want to go in that direction. Previously he would have accepted those things and let it go, you know, the cultivating his mind. Now he is restraining them. Because of the faculty restraint, he is going to the loving kindness. That's Pratama Metta Appamana. Loving kindness. So you can see the loving kindness is that big. First you should have seen the suffering nature. You would say that all beings be well, free from suffering. What do you mean by that? You are saying that I am suffering, everybody is suffering. Only thing that is not suffering is the Nibbana. Let they attain Nibbana, that is what you are saying in your mind. So, unless you know that you are suffering, your words have no meaning. So, that's how the way to go into loving kindness meditation, loving Metta Appamana. To arrive at Metta Appamana, that the best discourse to use is the Karaniya Metta Sutta. So, in Karaniya Metta Sutta, Buddha said that the Karaniya Metta Kusalena, he who is skilled in working out his own well-being and who wishes to attain that state of calm Nibbana should act thus. He should be upright, exceedingly upright, obedient, gentle and humble. Sakko jocha, sujocha, suvacho chasa udvanati mani. Suvacha. That suvacha is translated as obedient, easy to speak. But that one is really big. Really, really big. There is a discourse in Middle and Sales. That is the 15th discourse. It's called Anumana Sutra. Translation is with the English or Sinhala, it is really bad because it's written in a very short way and lot of dots over there. Then this discourse by Venerable Moggallana, we will just see what sort of things mean that the opposite word of the suvacha is duvacha. Now if your reverence a monk invites saying, let the Venerable One speaks to me. I should be spoken to by Venerable Ones. But if he is one whom it is difficult to speak to, endowed with qualities which make him difficult to speak to, intractable, incapable of being instructed, then his fellow Brahmaviharas judges that he should not be spoken to, and that he should not be instructed, and that trust should not be placed in that individual. So if someone, you know, that he is saying that, please instruct me, but then fellow Brahmaviharas, that the teachers, they judge that this person, we can't speak to him and instruct him. So what your reverence are the qualities which make him difficult to speak to? Here in your reverences, monks come to be an evil desire and in the thrall of evil desire. If someone has got an evil desire, it is very hard for others to instruct him. Whatever monk, your reverence, come to be of evil desire and thrall of evil desire, there is this quality that makes him difficult to speak to. And again, your reverence says, a monk exalts himself and disparages others. So he thinks that he is the, you know, I am the highest, I am coming from higher caste, I am, you know, and so on. And all the others are useless. I have the virtue, you don't have virtue, and all those things. Whatever monks exalt himself and disparages others, this too is a quality that makes him difficult to speak to. And again, your reverence says, a monk comes to be wrathful, overpowered by wrath. Whatever monk is wrathful, overpowered by wrath, this too is a quality. And again, your reverence says, monk comes to be wrathful, and because of his wrath, he is a fault finder. He finds fault from everybody else's. So it's not easy to instruct him. And this too is a quality. And again, your reverence says, a monk come to be wrathful, and because of his wrath, he is one who take offenses. If someone instructed, you know, that the other person told me not to do this sort of thing, now he become offended. Whatever monk is wrathful, because of his wrath, is one who takes offenses. This too is a quality. And again, your reverence says, monk comes to be wrathful, and because of his wrath, utters words bordering on wrath. So his angry words and sort of thing. This is very lengthy. The list is goes on. And again, that he may not let go of these material things. He hold into material things. Remember, there was another discourse we discussed before, that the Buddha was asking monks to give up the evening meal, and those ones were sort of reluctant to give up, and so on. So this is this duvacha, that is this bad part. The suvacha means you don't have these things, these qualities. You can see the amount, you know, the number of things that we should have to arrive at this loving kindness is that great. It's not easy in that. Unless you see suffering and suffering for yourself and suffering for others, and that I should give up these things, it is that. So Buddha said in the first one, in the first gatha is about that. So I actually I read only one page of that one. Is that you need to read that discourse yourself. It is the 15th discourse in Majjhima Nikaya. And then Buddha said that contented, easily supportable, with but few responsibilities, santusa kocha subarocha apakichocha salloka utti, of simple livelihood, controlling the senses, santindriyo, the senses has to be controlled. So the same thing we discussed little while ago, that in order to arrive at this one, in the senses, prudent, courteous, and not hanker after association with families. That kulesu anulugindo. So again, appagabbu kulesu anulugindo. This appagabbu word is that it is again very lengthy. The Mahanidesa explained this one in greater detail. So there can be three kind of this thing that that from by words and by behavior. For example, if a monk can be sort of falling into this appagabba, pragalba category, by, you know, the monk, let's say monks are walking, you know, the walking meditation. So they are doing it in the upper route or something, then this person is doing it in the lower one. If the others are doing it in the lower one, I am doing it in the upper one, like that, right? And then he fights with the other monks, and from words, one can you go to a crowd where the other monks are, and then he was not invited to teach Dhamma. Now he started teaching Dhamma to others, uninvited, and telling these things, and he's you know, moving his hands and all those things like that. So. Whoever they are, he is actually telling this Dhamma. There are people in the office as well, you know, behaving like this. Uninvited they speak, uninvited they do things, right? And then from the mind, that let's say someone became a monk, he's not from a high caste, But there are other people who come from the high caste, or maybe a king who actually become a monk. So they are, so this person is thinking that I am the same as that, right? So this is not, Buddha is not talking about having maintain this the diversity amongst monk, but this thinking is the problem. That if we are thinking I am superior, then it's the conceit. If I'm thinking I'm inferior, then it is also the conceit. If I'm thinking I'm the same, it is also the conceit. So the conceit is now is the issue, right? Otherwise, there's no, the differences between monks. But one would be thinking in that way and behaving that way. So his behavior become bad in that way. So that is this bad part about that. So one should not have those things either. And also, Ananugitto, that the association with families, kula, right? So we, there's the gather is something to do with tanha, craving. And so there is this craving for my family, for example, my parents. They are coming from such and such a, you know, place, such and such a thing. So one would hold into that one. And we are Sri Lankans, for example. It's another thing we made up, right? So we behave such and such a way, right? So Americans would say we are Americans, we are Australians, and so on. So there is this cooler thing about this. So all something to do with, you can see, starting with the food. If you get it back to the origin, then you can see it is going that far. And so one is not clinging to these things, is not a hanker after association with families. This is not properly, you don't get the meaning when you say it's families, it's a kula, is the proper thing. And if you remember Mahanidana Sutta, that we discussed, that there is this in the Mahanidana Sutta, Buddha said that because of the feeling, we get this the cravings, and so we go into this machariya, stinginess, and the stinginess is fivefold. One is about this avas, or the house that you have, and then there is this stinginess about the families, kula machariya, the stinginess. And then there is this stinginess regarding gains. And again, Dhamma, the teaching. People go and kill other people because of the teaching, the religion, and so on. And also the this reputation. So this one is right. Buddha is talking about over here, about the families. That is the bigger one that is preventing you from going into the loving kindness level. Why? You are actually protecting your family, your children, your whatever, you know, your friends, you know, they all become you part of this, your relatives, all those things. So we need to get rid of that one as well from our mind. And then this nacha, guddham samachari, let him not perform the slightest wrong for which wise men may rebuke him. Let him, may all beings be happy and safe. May they have happy minds. So here you can see the Sukhinova Keminyo Huntu Sabbe Satta Bhavant Sukhitatta. Sukhitatta. That means that they be happy. So over here you can see the first part we discussed a little while ago, where the understanding about suffering is important. Unless you know the suffering, what are we talking about? Let they be well, free from suffering. What we are saying, we all suffer. Let them not have suffering. Let they get out of suffering. Let they attain Nibbana. So it's all focused on the Nibbana. And then, Yekechipana Bhutatti. So, whatever living being there may be, feeble or strong, or the seekers, and the attained, long or medium size, short, small, long, small, large, those seen or those unseen. those dwelling far or near, those who are born as well as those yet to be born, may all be have happy minds. Now, you are maintaining the loving kindness this way. And then it's further, it is not completely refined yet. And Buddha goes on, Naparoparam nikuppeta, let him not deceive another, nor despise anyone anywhere. In anger or ill will, let him not wish another ill. Just as a mother would protect her only child with her life, even so let one cultivate a boundless love towards all beings. Matayata niyamputta, that part. So how would the mother protect a child? That is that from her life she would protect. So such a loving kindness, we have to spread the loving kindness up to that level to all the other people, protecting them and, you know, in their mind, not to have any ill sort of thing. So it is that big. So then you can see it is gone a bit further, but still not to the level. Let him radiate boundless love towards the entire world, above, below, and across, unhindered, without ill will, without enmity. The above means that up to the Akanita Brahma realm, and below you can see this from this earth onwards, you can see one need to maintain this one, and across as well, without ill will, enmity. And you do that one standing, walking, sitting, or reclining as long as he is awake. Let him develop this mindfulness. This way, they say, is noble living here. Brahma metam viharam idam aho. This is the mindfulness we are generally maintaining. And then, dittincha anupagamma silava dasanena sampanno. Not falling into wrong views. The wrong view is about the view about the body. I myself and all those things. So he is not, anupagamma means he is not going back to that view. Very important thing. Not going back to that view. And silava dasanena, he uses that one as the virtue. It is that strong. Remember that virtue has got, we just discussed, the trivida sucharita, or the three things we do from our mind. One is the right view, the abandoning of the wrong view and arriving at the right view. So it's part of the virtue. So he has got that virtue. Silava dasanena sampanno, having seen that one with the insight. Kamesu vinayagedam, lust in the senses discarded. Verily never again will he return to conceive in a womb. Vinayagedam nahijatu gabba seyam punarayati iti. He is not going to mother's womb. It does not say that he is not going to anywhere else. He is not going to this womb. So you can see that if you start from this end, that is from the right view, that when you have the right view, now we go a little bit deeper. Remember that there are these four nutriments. One is the edible food, and then second one is the contact, the third one is the volition, the fourth one is the consciousness. When you go through the third one, the volitional formations, the volition, and then there is this views come to arise, the wrong views. So they are regarding the body, that one. So in this tenth gatha, Buddha cut down that path. So you are no longer going in the third wrong path in that one. Have got the right view, maintain very well, and it's a part of the virtue. You maintain it that way. What happened when you cut down that one? You know, when there is something that we see, and then there is having seen, let's say I have eaten something really good, and then I see the same food next day somewhere in a table, on the top of a table. And then these thoughts come to me that, you know, that this is the food that you have eaten, because the volitional formation construct this thing. So there is this, because of this food, that feeling arises, and then I perceive this feeling. I perceive that one to be pleasurable. Although it is not pleasurable, I perceive it that way. Because of this perception that I got this volition. Because of the volition, I got the view. So I got this identity view, this self view. Now, when I see things, now this particular person has contemplated before that this is food, this is of the disgusting nature, the loathsome nature of this food, but you still feel like, keep thinking about it, feel like eating, right? All those things. Why is that happening? It is happening because of the view. Because of the wrong view. View makes going to the mano pavichara, that this, the thinking about it, you know, mano pavichara, these mental ramblings occur because of the view. The view that occurred because of the my previous eating and previous grasping of the same thing. So if the view is cut off, then I am not continuing in that path. So that means I am not continuing on the second path, that is the contact. After the contact, I get this perversion that this is pleasurable while it is suffering. So I would not go in that direction if I cut down the view part. So that is the one that is happening from the this thing. And then again, kamesu vinayageda. So that means lust in the senses discarded. What is this lust? That is, we are going back to the first one. That is the ahara, that is the kabalikara ahara, or the nutriment food, that I am not going back to that. Why would I go into mother's womb? Why wouldn't I be born in some other world, Brahma world? If I can be born in Brahma world, why would I go into the mother's womb? I want to eat. I want to have such and such a body. That's why I'm going after the food over there and making it happen. So this is a bit difficult to understand for many, but it is true. It is the truth. So that means we are cutting down the first path. We don't want to go in that direction. So that I'm going, getting rid of the nutriment, the edible food. I'm not going. So the Buddha is now cutting down from this gatha itself the third path. And then the second, and then the first.
So one such person who is not attached to this edible food, he still eats anyway.
Oh yeah.
But
he's eating for just for living, not for the pleasure. He's not living for eating, right? So it's just he eats to live.
So that means he would eat whatever is given to him, that person, isn't it?
Yeah,
so
he doesn't go after the taste and all those things.
Or analyze whether it is a vegetable or whether it is a part of the meat or whatever.
Yeah. He just eat just for the sake of eating, living, maintaining the body. So you can see, so this cutting down is really important. Because most of the time, we go through this second path with the contact as the nutriment. We get these feelings and then we cling into those feelings. We cannot maintain these things. So we go into the anger, hatred. So in the middle part of the discourse, Buddha is cutting down that path by having the loving kindness. So you can see the way I can arrive at the anger is three things. One thing is I am clinging to the food. That is the first thing. And so when I say food, it's included the other living beings as well. Right? So if I'm not going after that one, then I'm not going in the first path. And then the second path, I can see, having a contact, having felt a feeling, I want to have this mental rambling and thinking about it because of my wrong view. So if I cut down the wrong view, I am not continuing in that path, so I am cutting down in the middle. If I have reached the end, I am cutting down from the loving kindness. Like a mother protect her child, I will maintain that loving kindness to all the beings, living beings. So
that means the first three you have to do through practice, you have to stop it happening, isn't it?
Yes. So you can see the practice is given in the beginning. At the beginning, Buddha says, suvacca. That means you don't have this kind of ill-will thoughts towards others, and Anumana Sutta, that explains what to do not to arrive at this anger. So that is really big. And then this in the second one, Buddha is cutting down in the second part. End of the second part is that this the kuleso anunugindo, that is this machiriya, because of this the stinginess that I behave in this way. If I don't do that, then You see, how many people get upset that if something is happening in Sri Lanka and, you know, Tamil tigers killing, sort of thing. Because of what? Because of this cooler thing that, and everywhere else is the same. So you can see that this cutting down in the second one, that don't go to that extreme end. This is a great, great discourse to do with understanding. Otherwise, if someone just say the karaniyamatta kusalena, you know, this is just doesn't make anything. But if you do it with the understanding, it is great, and one can achieve this the metta citta vimukti, and can maintain with this understanding. You can maintain as much as you want. Just you need to know that I am actually cutting. Either you got to have the knowledge, or you got to have the practice of loving kindness done before. So you can see, if I know that I am cutting down, I am not going to this path. That path is clear with this gatha, and in the second gatha I am not going through that. And likewise, you can see that when I read the 10th one, so I am not going in 1, 2, or 3 paths. So you can see it's just the delusion will be there. But this one maintains you in that very high state for a long, long time. And if you do that one in a immeasurable way, apramana, then it is actually the door to the appanita cheto vimukti. That if you go into the 7th jhana concentration, and then if you think that it is suffering, right, that the attainment that you have there is the, this one is the door to arrive at that. It's another door to arrive at that. So it's a great thing.
Can you explain that in one place you said that that we go back to the edible food.
Mm.
And can you tell that analysis, explain that analysis a bit?
Well, we go back to edible food because that's the only thing you are holding. Starting from the birth, starting from the death, from your past birth, you having passed away. What makes you to come and hold into that mother's womb? You know, the father and mother and, you know, that thing. What makes you to go there and hold into that particular form? That's the only thing you hold. And continuously you hold. And this one actually explains why people like that babies as well. So your consciousness should always occupy with that, starting from that womb. Buddha said in Mahanidana Sutta, that person is going there, Gandharva is. Having reached that state, the consciousness established over there. And then the name and form reshape in that place. Making it happen. If the consciousness leaves that one, then there won't be any body, any child or anyone, right? So you can see the importance of the consciousness to be there with that whatever thing it is there inside the mother's womb in order this to happen. And since that first point onwards, our consciousness is binding to this body all the time. Like when you are a baby, you have quite a lot of time for the consciousness to be, you know, with the body, because he hasn't got many things to do. When you grow older, your consciousness got so many other things. Things like what? Aging to deal with. Sickness to deal with. Death and the pain. And then there is this sorrow, lamentation. And then this sadness. All those things are there. So what you want is that first thing you hold, and you keep going to that one all the time. And the other things make it impossible for you to reach that one and maintain it. That's why when you are sick, what would the doctor say? Rest. Go to bed or something. You just lie down over there. So your consciousness is available to you, not attending to anything else. So you recover and all those things, right? So it got to be here with us.
Yeah, but that consciousness that make you be born again, that's a collective one, isn't it?
Yes, because collective one what?
The collective one of many things.
Yeah, but this is the root. This is the root. With this root, you go in with the all the others. You see, we make it up. A beggar would eat. He would eat whatever thing is given to him, right? He doesn't do any job. So his thinking is just, it's okay for me, I sit down, no, here, eat. Other people would think, oh, no, this is not right. I will earn, right? I will go by bus and I will get this food and eat this way. Another person would think, no, no, that's not right. I will have a car. I will go by the car, right? I will work in this such and such office. And then he thinks, no, I will have this sort of house, have this sort of a table, and I will cook in this sort of cooker, and this sort of a plate, and I eat this way. What everybody is doing? Eating. So the food is the fundamental thing over here. Everything starting from this one. So those who actually got rid of that one, being born in the other world, totally unbinding to this one, they are not coming back. They are never returners. Others, whether it's a divine realm or not, in the divine realm also there's the food over there. This Dhamma is so great, it's so hard to understand because of the not having explanation of this, you know, that about this food. So you can see the Dukkha Patipada Adanda Abhinya straight away attack the first one.
Yeah, so did you mean that the person who got rid of the desire for food
is a never returner? Yes.
Alright.
All the others has got...
Because of that that plane, so it's a long time that he wouldn't have a desire to food at all after.
Yeah. Okay. Is there any other questions?
Yeah, how would you say? It's a, you know, for
sure
you say something like, you know,
have,
is that what
it's meant? Well, it's, yes, let this be mine. I'll have it means that let this be mine. So I'll have it. It's a person who is not having that one is, if you don't want to have that thing, that means one has to become a monk. So you are only given and you eat, not demanding, not asking, you know, just for this thing.
Can we deal with one, you know, you're not monks?
Well, what you need to develop is the right view. So you can't first give up these things. That will be there for a long time. So you first develop the right view and then become a stream enterer, Sotapanna. So because of the right view, you can see that let this be mine is now diluting because that view is cutting down, not letting you go in that path. So you are still doing it. Even you are a stream enterer, you are doing it, but you are doing it to less extent. Not like before, not strong enough. Even that thing is not there, you don't care. If it is there, because of your former practice, you would grab it, use it. But you are not going after it strongly. So when you become a once returner, this is diluted further. And a never returner is gone quite a lot over there. But still, there is this the color and things that will attract a never returner. So the Arahant wouldn't have anything on that.
When you say right view, it's being aware of yourself, isn't it?
No. It is the understanding about the Four Noble Truths.
Right.
That birth is suffering, aging is suffering, sickness is suffering, death is suffering. Understand that understanding together with the arising and the passing away has to know that one and the path leading to it should be known. So, in short, understanding the Four Noble Truths. Is not completely understanding the Four Noble Truths. Once, no, Sotapanna, Sri Mantra wouldn't understand the Four Noble Truths completely. We understand to a greater extent. So, because of this understanding, would you grab for food if you know that this one actually lead to the pain, painful nature? So, not knowing that one, we go for that. Okay, we'll stop today then. Yeah.